I don't have a three-point outline, a funny story, and a conclusion. I'm just going to give you pure, unadulterated word of God. I'll have to give you some backdrop. I don't want you to stand. I'm just going to talk my way through this. I'll give you a little bit of backstory behind this. It's very difficult to understand this story if you don't know a little bit about what is taking place. And we'll let the Holy Spirit of God make the application wherever He sees fit to do so. I'm not smart enough to do that. I don't know what your need is tonight. I don't really just know where you're at. But I know there's a lot going on. And I know in this story, we see David as king. And David's son Absalom has literally conspired against him, his own son. And given opportunity, Absalom would have killed his daddy and taken this throne. And there's a lot going on in the life of David. And you see David at this point, at this place where David is climbing the hill outside of Jerusalem, and he's leaving with his followers, those that are faithful to him, and his son is in pursuit of his life, and you see things that begin to take place. There are very real present dangers to David in this scripture. You let the Holy Spirit make the application to you however you see fit. There are real dangers, physical dangers that are taking place. And Satan's trying to wire him out. And at this point, you must understand that in David's defense, God has anointed David king. David is the king, and David is going to rule, and David is going to reign. But it looks like at every turn, there are things that are absolutely going to stop the fulfillment of God's will and God's word in the life of David, but it's not. And you and I, no matter what the promises of God are in our life, from time to time, we're subject to forget what God said and look at our surroundings and get absolutely beat up by our surroundings. And you see here that David was a little past the top of the hill, and behold, Ziba, the servant of Mephibosheth, met him with a couple of asses saddled, and upon them 200 loaves of bread and 100 bunches of raisins and 100 of summer fruits and a bottle of wine. Now, who is Ziba? I don't have time to get into all of this, but Ziba's an anomaly, somewhat of an enigma here, in the fact that earlier Ziba in typology was a type of the Holy Ghost of God, but now in this scene, when Ziba comes to David, Ziba is working on behalf of himself and the devil. Who is Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth was the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was of the household of Saul. Remember, Saul was the king before David was. And they looked at kingship as following family lineage. And David, because of his oath that he had made with Jonathan and the covenant he had entered into with Jonathan, has sought someone in Jonathan's house that he could show kindness to. Actually, he said the kindness of the Lord. Mephibosheth, when he was 5 years old, was crippled when his maid fell, and he had found himself on the wrong side of the river, and David sent for him. And David has shown great mercy, great love, and great latitude toward Mephibosheth, and actually had made Ziba somewhat of a caretaker over all of the property, and had told Mephibosheth to sit at David's own table. Now you see the relationship between David and Mephibosheth, but here Ziba comes and brings all this summer fruit and a bottle of wine and these asses saddled. And the king said unto Ziba, "What meanest thou by this?" And Ziba said, "The asses be for the king's household to ride on, and the bread and the summer fruit for the young men to eat, and the wine that such as be fain in the wilderness may drink. And the king said, where is thy master's son? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he abideth at Jerusalem. For he said, today shall the house of Israel restore me the kingdom of my father. What's he talking about? He's telling David here that Mephibosheth had stayed back in Jerusalem and said, surely today God will avenge me and give me back the kingdom and give me the throne of my father, when he was talking about Saul, which was actually his grandfather, but it makes him in the bloodline to have the throne. And he throws this in the face of David, who David stopped. David's already fleeing for his life. David's son Absalom would kill him to take this throne. And my wife is an Old Testament scholar, and my wife says this all the time, it's a dangerous thing to live in the castle. Because there's always somebody wanting to take you out. And here David's own son Absalom is trying to destroy him. And now he receives word from Ziba that the one that he loved, that he took into his household, Mephibosheth, also thinks Mephibosheth's going to be king. Except one problem, Brother Danny, it's a great big fat lie. Mephibosheth ain't done no such thing. He ain't done no such thing. Ziba's lying. Why? Because Ziba wants to take all that land and the possessions of Mephibosheth for himself. But Satan, in such a satanic opposition against David, wants to do more than just steal Mephibosheth's land and give it to Ziba. He wants to discourage David by thinking, on top of my problems with my own son, now the one that I've showed this grace and kindness to has turned his back on me, and he's turned on me too. Well, if you ain't got a hold of this yet, I'm telling you, you're going to have stuff in your life that's going to come against you. And there's going to be real present dangers, and there's going to be real present problems in your life that are going to haunt you and that will hurt you, give an opportunity. And then on top of that, the devil's going to bring a bunch of lies in your head and bring stuff against you that ain't even real, Brother Ed. Because when you're weak, I mean, he's already weak. He's dealing with this issue in his heart, and now he's got this. That's satanic. And verse number 4, then said the king to Ziba, behold, thine are all that pertain to Mephibosheth. And Ziba said, I humbly beseech thee that I may find grace in thy sight, O Lord, O king. Ziba's just playing him in his affliction. Well, we'll move on. Verse number 5. And then when King David came to Berhum, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. And he came forth and cursed still as he came. And he cast stones at David and all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men that were his right hand and on his left. Can you imagine the picture here? That here David is the mighty man of valor. I mean, a warrior that David is, and David with his mighty men of valor, these are warriors. These ain't wimpy little men. These are warriors, and here comes a man cussing and throwing rocks. Thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned, and the Lord hath delivered the kingdom unto the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. A portion of what Shimei said is absolutely true. David was a bloody man, and part of the curse that God pronounced on David because of David's sin with Bathsheba and the way David dealt with Uriah the Hittite and had him, David essentially murdered him. And God told David, because of what had taken place, that the sword would never depart from his house. And part of what Shimei is saying here is true. He just ain't got a right to say it. And it ain't his place to say it. And as a matter of fact, God had already told him through his word not to touch his anointed. And David was the anointed of the Lord, and Shimei's wrong. But there's a reason all this is taking place. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, "Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head." And he would have done it too, buddy. I mean, here this seemingly an idiot has come out cussing and throwing rocks at these men of war. And the king said, "What have I to do with you, sons of Zeruiah? For let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, curse David. Who shall then say, wherefore hast thou done so?" David said to Abishai and to all the servants, "Behold, my son, which came forth of my bowels," he's speaking of Absalom here, "seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on mine affliction, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day." And when I look at this scripture and I look at the attitude of David, what wisdom that's taken place here. David's nephews, the sons of Zeruiah, are with him. And they say, "Why don't you let us just go and kill this dead dog? We'll take his head off and we won't have to listen to his mouth anymore." And David, in great wisdom, understood apparently something that was going on here, that if we're not careful, that we'll miss. And Brother Danny, if there's anything that I want us to get from this, I see that at this point, the Word of God said that the Lord had done this. All these servants, "Behold, my son, which came forth out of my bowels, seeketh my life. And much more now may this Benjamite do it. Let him alone, let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him." David understood that this man, Shimei, was a Benjamite. He was of the same tribe, the same household, and the same bloodline as Saul. And if anybody had a right to hate David, it would have been Shimei. Because Shimei wanted somebody from the lineage of Saul to be on the throne. And no doubt he would have been for the crippled boy Mephibosheth being the king. But there's something that's taking place here that David understands. That if we could get a hold of this, that would help us. And David looks at this and said, "The Lord hath bidden him." When you understand a little bit about the Hebrew language, there are some things that are difficult to translate into English. But what God wants us to understand here in our King James Bible is not the fact that God had told Shimei to go curse David, that God had sovereignly allowed it to be so for a purpose in the providential wisdom of God. What was taking place here at this point and at this time, God allowed this Benjamite, Shimei, to do something that would... God's going to deal with him years on down the road. His days, his come up, and it'll come one day, but just not today. But you know what God did, and God gave David the wisdom to see here? There's a real enemy. Absalom will kill him. He gets an opportunity. And you see that the devil is using this lie about Mephibosheth, and David's facing all this stuff, and these are real threats in his life. Some of them are physical, some of them are mental and emotional. And now here comes Shimei cussing and throwing rocks. And what the Lord allowed David to see in Shimei was very simple. Why did God allow this man to come out and do this? Because, Brother Danny, all this time that David had been sitting on the throne there in Jerusalem, that had been in Shimei's heart. And now God let it come out so David could see what was in his heart. And there are times that God will allow people to say and do things to you and in front of you to help you have the wisdom to understand that they've been hiding something in their heart. Our young converts, folks ain't been saved very long. You understand what your preacher's telling you tonight. There are some times that God will let you see things in people that will hurt your feelings. But God's just letting you see what's really in somebody's heart. You let people along. They say if you give them enough rope, they'll hang themselves. And if you let people talk long enough, they'll tell on themselves. And sometimes I look at my wife and I see people in our life that are hurtful and people that are harmful. And time and again, I've looked at my precious wife and I said, honey, there's not one thing today any different than it was yesterday or any different than it was 6 months ago or different than it was a year ago. God has just let it be manifest. Are you listening? There are some things that God will let you see. And David had every right to let Abishai go over and take his head off. And David said, don't you do it. He said, this ain't got nothing to do with you. This ain't got nothing to do with you. David said, as a matter of fact, God may take this. We call, I don't know what you call it in Buncombe County. Where I come from, we call it talking smack. That's what he's doing. He's talking smack. He's giving David a bunch of lip. And David, in his wisdom, the wisdom that God gave him, David said, leave him alone. Let him cuss. Let him curse. Let him throw rocks. And David said, maybe that the Lord will requite me. And the word requite means to repay. You see, David understood all along that what David is suffering, David brought most of this on himself with what he did with Uriah the Hittite. And David understands that a lot of what he's going through with his son Absalom is the chastisement of God against him. But David also realizes and understands when it comes to Shimei that God has just allowed him to see what's really going on in this man's heart. And David said in his wisdom, maybe, just maybe, if I just take this and I let this just go, let it go, maybe God will take those cursings that he's cursing me with, and maybe God one day will see my affliction. And God, being the just judge that he is, God will turn that around and make that a blessing. What are you saying, Brother Mike? There are things in your life, Miss Michelle, you're facing that are real. Miss Judy, there are things you're facing in your life. They may be mental and they may be emotional, but they're real. And there's the devil set out to hurt you and to do you harm. But Brother Danny, there are in this battle, there are some things, and I'm going to say this, and if I preached it as a message, this would be the title of my message, Don't Sweat the Little Things. Shimei don't mean nothing. These are men of war, and this is a crazy man throwing rocks and cussing. Can you see how ridiculous, Brother Chip, that looks? Then why is it we take every little thing so serious to heart? And we get so tore up over things that are so stupid and they really don't mean anything in the big picture. And God wants us to have enough wisdom to realize there is an enemy. There is an enemy. But if one of your brothers or one of your sisters is having a bad day and they give you that sideways look or they say something that just don't settle right with you, don't get bent out of shape over the little stuff. Because they're not your real enemy. They're not your real enemy. As a matter of fact, Shimei was his own enemy more than he was David's. And it's going to come back and bite him one day, brother. It will. That day will come. It won't be David that kills him. It'll be David's son, Solomon, that tells the man to go and drop the sword on the head of Shimei. And he'll have to pay for all this, but not now. This ain't bothering David. This don't bother him. And there are some things that will only bother you if you let them. And I have told my wife time and again, and God has blessed me and a few times in my life to be in a place that my blessings are so many, and there's so many good things God's doing, and God is doing so many wonderful works, and God's doing so many wonderful things in my life. Listen, I ain't got time to stop praising God for the good things He's doing to get hung up on some stupidity. But I'm telling you, the devil will throw them things at you, and they're just silly. And your pastoral advice from your preacher tonight is don't sweat them little things. Let God give you the wisdom to know what matters and what really don't. And you don't have to take up for yourself all the time either. You know why David could let this go? David could trust God. And if you're really trusting God, you're not going to get shaken by every little thing that comes along. If you're really trusting God. I mean, if you're really trusting Him. God's helped me and God's given me grace at some times in my life to fully trust Him. And I think there's been times in my life that God gave me the faith to trust Him, Brother Danny, that it really wouldn't have mattered what the devil would have thrown at me. Because I trusted God. I knew God's going to stay true to His Word. And God's going to stay true to me. And sometimes we can have a bad day, a bad experience, come have a service at church, and it don't turn out just like we thought it would. And, you know, I can look around, and I'm wondering where so-and-so's at, and where's this family at, and why ain't they in the house of God? And, Brother Ed, I can get discouraged over those little things so much that they take my eyes off the things that really matter. And it ain't fair to God to let those little things rob us of the great blessings God's got for us. It ain't fair. Well, I love you tonight. I've told you everything I come to tell you. And I hope you get something from it, but don't sweat the little things. There are some things in your life you can just let go. I mean, you can just let them slide. You know, I've had people say things to me, sideways things, and Brother Danny, I walked away and realized in my heart, why did they say this? Why did he tell me this? I had a pastor one time, and he told me, he said, you know, and there's somebody come to me the other day and asked me what was up with you. That's what he said. Somebody came to me and asked me what's up with you. And I walked away from that conversation, Brother Ed, and I thought, why did he say that to me? I know why he said that to me, Miss Sue. I know. He said that to hurt my feelings. That's why he said it. But Brother Danny, the Scripture says faithful are the wounds of a friend. That man's my friend, and I love him. And I can give him the benefit of a doubt. He was having a bad day. It was a bad time for him. He was frustrated with life. He was frustrated with the world around him. He's a Baptist preacher. He's bound to have been frustrated with his church, frustrated with how people acted. And at the moment, he might have been frustrated with me. And I'm going to give him a pass. I'm going to give him a pass. Because faithful are the wounds of a friend. And he is my friend. And there's sometimes you just got to give people a pass on some things. Because sometimes you know what we do. I know y'all don't do this because I know every one of y'all are a lot more sanctified than I am. And I know this. And I appreciate you for it. And I love you dearly. But is it not amazing in my life how sometimes that when I'm frustrated, I will lash out and hurt people I love the most. Now, I know you don't do that. But sometimes I do. And it would do us well to look at other people and say, maybe they're just lashing out because they're hurting. And they're really not trying to hurt me. They really don't mean to hurt me. But boy, we ought to be Christ-like. How many times have we lashed out? How many times have we hurt the one that bled and died for us? that would have done anything for us, that was giving us all the good gifts that God's given us, and we hurt him, we ought to be able to forgive somebody else once in a while.